Well, good afternoon and welcome. Thank you for joining me. Such a delight to be able to be here with you today. And just want to give you a quick programming note before we begin the chapel. Just a real quick heads up for everyone who is used to praying at this time. Tomorrow, we will pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. We're going to pray it at 2 Central, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific time. I really encourage you to join me if you can possibly do that. I think it's going to be an extraordinarily powerful chaplet and an incredibly powerful day to pray that prayer. And we're doing that because after the 2 o'clock hour Central time at 3 Central, 4 Eastern and 1 Pacific, Father Rocky will lead the nation in the Stations of the Cross. So if you have a special need or want or desire, need some prayer today, we're live, and I'd love to take your calls. So feel free to call in with your petition at 888-914-9149. It's so weird. I was about to give you a pledge number. 888-914-9149. I don't know where that came from. Memory banks are firing, I guess. And look, can I share a couple answered prayers within a couple petitions today, too? And then we'll kick it off on this day. I want to offer the chaplet in particular for our priests. All right, I do. I want to pray for them, for all the attacks that they are under. I would want to pray for those discerning vocations, those struggling in their vocations, and for anyone's vocation. It could be married life. It could be religious life. We'd like to lift that up. But I'd also like to pray for the church, especially for those who blaspheme, commit sacrilege against our Lord's true presence in the Eucharist, and that we'll have a greater devotion to the Lord in the Eucharist. So, if you join me now for prayer, I'd appreciate that, and pray for me too. I want to write a book on the Eucharist. I'm planning on doing that at some point in the future. So, if you could remember that, put that down your prayer list. I will be under attack if I do that. There's no question about it. Satan will not want that out, and of course, I know it'll do a lot of good. So, I'm grateful for whatever you could do on this great day. I'd like to ask for that particular intention. But let me just share first a petition of true. Hey, for many years I've listened to you and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I always pray for the people who call in and email and text with their intentions. Now it's my turn to ask for prayers while you do the Divine Mercy Chaplet each day. I've been diagnosed with esophageal cancer and metastatic spread. I'm fortunate to have great doctors from Temple University working on my case. Seems I have all of Northeast Philadelphia and South Jersey area praying for me. Would you please pray for me, my doctors, my wife, she's my rock, and my children and grandchildren, family and friends are all worried about me. I pray the Lord will hear these prayers and help me recover from this terrible disease. Bob, we're praying for you, bud. Hang in there. We're going to bring it before the Lord right now. Stephanie writes and says, thanks so much for your ministry. If the group could pray for me for successful surgery tomorrow, breast cancer, and the cancer just requires a minimal 30 days of radiation, no chemo, maybe some pills for 5 days. I'd appreciate the prayers. All right, we'll lift those intentions up. I also want to just share a couple quick answered prayers with you as well, and I'm so grateful for everybody who has written in. This person says, hey, I've requested prayers for Kyle last week. He was dealing with leukemia, had remission, then it appeared to have come back. Great news. He was tested. The preliminary tests show there is no cancer, especially in his bone marrow. So we just want to thank God for this answered prayer. Well, praise God. We'll keep praying for Kyle and pray for everyone with cancer today. This person says, hey, I want to let you know my prayer for my son. We called in to ask that he make a good ACT score so that he'd be able to begin his engineering program in the fall. I just want to let everybody who prayed know that prayer was answered. Not only did he reach his goal, he surpassed it. Now his scholarship's going to be upgraded. Got to tell you, the chaplet and your show is the highlight of my workday. The devotion to Divine Mercy has led me to a devotion to the chaplet. And praying the chaplet with you is has made my best Lent so far. I'm so happy to continue this prayer for the rest of my life. Well, Renee, thank you. Happy for you and for your son. And what a beautiful beautiful intention. One final answer prayer here. How about this one? And then Matt Beardsley will join me for the chapel today. This person says, hey, thank you for sharing the gift of divine mercy. I look forward to saying with you each day. My husband and I have been married almost 34 years, and he struggled with alcohol addiction for most of his adult life. I've been praying for years that he would recognize the need for sobriety. I want to let you know those prayers were answered. He made the decision yesterday that he was beginning the process of recovery after hearing how ill his friend is from the same illness. I just want to thank God for answering our prayers. I want to pray for his friend that he can get through the withdrawal process safely. And I'll keep that name private. So that's just such great news. Thank you. And I say it all the time. I mean, addiction seems so powerful. It seems bigger than our prayer. It seems bigger than us. It seems to have in its grip that individual. But God's bigger than addiction, man. He can break it. And we see recovery and healing all of the time. I'm joined by Matt Beardsley today, one of our great engineers here at Relevant Radio. He used to produce for the morning show. And Matt and I have a history because we both joined Relevant Radio at the same day. We went through orientation together. Matt, you're like a brother from another mother. It's good to have you here.
Thanks, Drew. I really appreciate it. God bless you.
Anything you want to pray for today?
Yeah, you know, I do. I got a lot of heavy personal intentions to pray for. And in turn, I'd like to pray for anybody else's personal intentions as well.
All right. Well, I'll join you in that. We all have needs, don't we? Let's pray. We'll begin right now, and we'll just entrust our heart to the merciful Savior. And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. We'll take our first call today from Minnesota. Connie is praying with us there. Good afternoon, Connie.
Hello. I have a very close friend who has a daughter, Julie, who's been dealing with breast cancer for the last few months. She's had a mastectomy and very recently has found two new lumps. She comes from a very strong Catholic family and has nine children, three of which are still at home. And they would feel so blessed if Relevant Radio would pray for healings for her and for her husband and children. And we know that nothing is impossible with God, and we praise him and we thank him for all his graces that he gives us.
Amen to that.
Thank
well, I'm
you.
With you. You got it,
God
Connie.
Bless.
Thank
yeah.
you. We'll pray for that intention right now. And Lord, nothing is impossible with you. We know that. Help our weak faith. Give us the grace to carry our cross, the fortitude to endure what lies before us, and yet the hope and the trust to see the fruit of these prayers. And I just give to you Connie and her friend who has this daughter dealing with breast cancer, and I give you all the intentions of those crying out to you now, all those with cancer, all those with addiction and finances and other issues that weigh so heavily on them today. And I thank you for the gifts you have given to us through your Son, and we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Maureen is praying with us in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Maureen, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I, too, am asking all of us to pray for my dear sister's friend, Patty. She, unfortunately, has been re-diagnosed with some cancer. They found a mass, and we're asking for a miracle. She's something. She has worked tirelessly for many people in her parish for years, and we ask the Lord's mercy on her. And she said, jokingly, she's got a great Irish sense of humor, and she said, only if they're really good. And I know everybody listening today is a really good prayer warrior. So
amen to that.
We're in the right place. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Maureen. We'll pray for her. We'll pray for you, too. I know you didn't voice any intentions, but I'll give you Maureen, and I just ask you to answer her prayers. But we give you, Patty, I give you all today who are suffering from cancer, and I just ask for new beginnings. Cancer cells shrink, that they vanish. And then I pray for whatever radiation or chemo or immunotherapy a person may be going through now, whatever treatment they are dealing with, surgery, that it be effective. It's through natural means you want to bring about this healing. And I pray protection over everyone who's praying with me now that does not have cancer, for their loved ones, those close to them. Just pray against cancer. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before we go to Nick, who will be joining us from Frankfort, Illinois, let me go to Maggie, who monitors all of our Twitter feed here. And I hope you'll follow us at Drew Mariani Show. Put your prayer petitions there at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me at Drew Mariani. Really easy. But post those intentions. Maggie sees them, brings them to our prayer team here. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to get through on the phone. So you can always email us, too. And thank you for those answered prayers. Don't forget to send them to me. Drew@relevantradio.com. That's the email. Let me know how God is responding, how he's answering these prayers this time together. Maggie, what's coming in today?
We received a message, Drew, from an anonymous listener in Maine. I'm assuming it's a she. Says, please pray for my son who's struggling with depression and homosexual lifestyle. Also, my daughter, who still believes that we need to quarantine from COVID and is limiting activities with family. My relationship with my husband as we prepare for retirement, and we need to discern some things like where we will be and where we'll live, and also a coworker who was just diagnosed with leukemia.
Wow.
Lot for that listener. Jen from Virginia wrote to us and said, 3 years ago on April 17th, my sister-in-law died suddenly and unexpectedly. That date is also my brother's birthday. He's the one who lost his wife. He and his children miss her terribly. Please pray for them as they face Easter and the anniversary of her death, that they may receive extra graces praying for her. Beth wrote to us and said, please remember my little cousin Trey. Today he's in Mayo Hospital having his blood tested and praying that it isn't leukemia, which runs in our family. He is only 10. Adriana wrote to us and said, please pray for complete healing of my 4-year-old and 5-month-old grandsons. Janice wrote to us and said that my daughter and son-in-law are able to adopt their 2 foster children. They've loved them since they were born, and they are wonderful parents. They seem to be under spiritual attack this week, but we have hope. Elizabeth says, please pray for Deacon Bob Ellis. He's in urgent need of prayers.
All right, we know Deacon Bob is a great deacon from the Green Bay area who's done a lot to promote Our Lady of Fatima as well. Well, it's so many leukemia and so many cancer intentions today. When that happens, I know hearts are crying out, and I know God's at work, so I'm expecting good news. Lord, I'm going to pray with that faith. I'm going to lift up all of these intentions that have come forward, all those who mourn, all those who've been left behind. Lord, I pray for those having difficulty today in this journey of life, that they may feel your presence, be guided by your merciful light, and may be drawn closer to you. So I ask you, I intercede on their behalf once again. I just ask for your mercy, that you can heal and restore and just work miracles. Eternal Father, we offer you. Oh, let me get Nick in here before we pray this last decade. Nick, let me get you in on the third decade. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Thank you for the call. You have my prayers as you write about the Eucharist. I know the attacks we get from that. Yeah. Satan knows more than you and I that he's there, and he wants to keep us away from it, especially when we want to lead others to him. So my prayers are with you. I love you, my man.
Thank you,
and
brother.
I have come to you, and I really appreciate your taking my call as fate would have it. My deposition got over with very quickly, and right. The C-section is being delayed, so our prayers will be heard in a timely, not just eternally, but timely, as that baby's being delivered now. Baby is born, was detected to have a 7-centimeter tumor on the neck, and there's all kinds of complications that can go along with it. The parents, Tom and Karen, are pro-life advocates. I've seen them save many lives in front of an abortion clinic, so our prayers to them are so reciprocal, and I ask you to incorporate them into this chaplet and everyone that's listening to pray for Tom and Karen, for Rachel, the mother, and the baby's delivery, baby Winkler, and all involved with the delivery of this baby, and we pray for miraculous prognosis, and I'll stop there.
Now, amen. Nick, I want to pray for you, too. I know you didn't say anything personally, but I give you, Nick, Lord, I give you all those children who are sick in the NICUs, the PICUs. I pray for those mothers and fathers who are so stressed out by the health of their child. I just ask you to take these children unto you, Lord. Press them close, and let's have another miracle. Let's have doctors be amazed at the outcome of these prayers. All right, unite together once again with all of your children, trusting in your love and your mercy, we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Pam is praying in Temple City, California. Pam, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thank you, dude. I pray for you. I had some housekeeping done by some house cleaners in my living room here. I'm a blind person. I've called before, and they stole everything. My music boxes, my Last Supper picture that my grandmother made, my picture of the Ten Commandments, all kinds of things that they took. They totally cleaned me out. So I'm asking for a miracle if possible, or for my acceptance and my renewal of faith, because I'm in a desert here. And I thank you so very much, Drew, and all your listeners.
Well, Pam, we love you. We're so sorry. We really are. Let's pray that God somehow remedies this for you in a wonderfully uplifting and miraculous way. I don't know how this works out, but I do believe that with God, all things are possible, that with our prayers here, we can find ways that have, out of situations that have no way out. you know, the Lord promised. He says, he who trusts in my mercy, they won't perish. For all of their affairs are mine. So your affairs are his. And he says, your enemies will be shattered at the base of his footstool. I love that. So, Lord, I pray for that. Those who did wrong, those who committed this horrible offense against this beautiful soul here, I want to stand on that promise. From Diary Entry 723, he who trusts in my mercy will not perish, for his affairs are mine and his enemies will be shattered at the base of my footstool. I pray for restitution and restoration. I pray for healing. I pray for greater faith, trust, and Lord, I pray for your divine touch as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
See if I can sneak a couple calls in on this last decade. Marion is praying with us in San Bruno, California. Hi, Marion.
Yes. I'm calling to for prayers for my daughter who's in a domestic violence situation living in my house right now with restraining orders from a husband who's filing for divorce. And I want her return also to the faith so to help her get through this and for my whole family.
All right, we'll pray for her, and what a cross you carry as a mother knowing your daughter's in a situation like that. I pray for anyone involved with domestic abuse, anybody in the process of separation, divorce, annulment. Lord, I just pray for healing, and I pray for your mercy to enter into marriages. I pray for those who have been abused, and as difficult as it is to pray, Lord, we pray for our enemies. We pray for the conversion of those abusers. Regina in Chicago. Good afternoon. I'll bring you into the decade as well. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I would like to pray for the soul of my cousin. She died Friday.
Okay. Then we'll do that. We'll lift him up right now. Do you have another intention?
Thank you so much. And also my brother-in-law, who is a kidney recipient, and my sister, who is the donor. For continued health, so that they'll be able to come and be with their granddaughter.
Amen to that. Lord, I give you all those who are awaiting vital organs, transplants. I want to pray today also for those in dialysis. It just came to me. And I want to pray for two friends of mine, two men I know that are facing heart problems. And we just ask for your intercession in those cases. Tony in California, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Yes, I just want to know if you'd pray for me. I've been suffering with dizziness now for 6 months, and the doctors kind of just gave up on me. So I start in the morning, I go to sleep dizzy, and I don't know what to do. It's brought me closer to Christ by staying home, but it's starting to wear me out. I can't explain it, but thank you.
I got you, brother. We'll pray for you right now. You have our entire family here. And Lord, I pray for all the crosses that so many people carry, in particular this one, when doctors don't have a remedy. You, the divine physician, I know do. And I bring you Tony, who's carrying this cross. And I just pray for those who have those health issues that doctors cannot seem to identify, those with chronic pain, Lord. And I give to you now, those who are having just bad days, those who are depressed and anxious, those who are struggling financially, those who are concerned about their loved ones, those in need of conversion, or those in impure relationships. I want to pray for the mother contemplating taking the life of her child. I want to pray for that person who's considering ending their own life. But I give you the needs, the wants, the prayers, the desires of all your children united together with me now. I stand before the foot of your cross, trusting in your mercy, I pray, eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you.
I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
To all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for praying. Send me your answered prayer. Send me those petitions. And let's at this holy time of year continue to pray for one another.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Especially thank you for praying with me. I cannot tell you how powerfully I feel the Holy Spirit at times when we do that. And when Christ said, when two or more gathered, he's present. And just imagine the prayer force that we have, people praying around the country and around the world together for one another. How can God's heart not be moved? So many people suffering, so many people struggling, right? But when we unite that to that of the Lord on the cross, that becomes such an incredibly powerful time of prayer. And I'm honored to do it with you. Tomorrow, though, I just want to give you a quick heads up. We're going to pray the chaplet 1 hour earlier. All right, so it'll be at 3 o'clock Eastern time. It's going to be 2 o'clock Central, and it will be at noon on the Pacific time zone. So I hope you can join me. You know, tomorrow we'll meditate on the Passion of the Lord, and I'll give you a unique look at it. But of all the days to pray the chaplet of divine mercy, man, I just think, I think graces are going to flow. So have your loved ones. If you're not in church, if you're in your car, if they're somewhere else, maybe you're homebound, you can't get out for some reason, join me. You can listen on the station that you're listening to me now, or maybe over the mobile app. It's a great way to do it or over the computer. But please join us, okay, tomorrow, especially for the chaplet. And we'll ask God for his mercy on that day in which sin was defeated, right? Evil was conquered, and you and I became sons and daughters of God. I love that. Coming up in just a moment, I want to take you live to the Holy Land. You know, I've been to the Holy Land on a number of occasions, and I've been in the upper room where tonight, you know, we're going to reflect on the Last Supper and the great institution of the Eucharist. I've been at the Mount of Olives where Christ, knowing what laid you know, in his not too distant future, what, you know, lie before him. Oh man, he sweat blood. I mean, imagine knowing what Roman crucifixion was like and how these prisoners were treated. We'll take you down the Via Dolorosa, tell you what it was like, and so much more. But you know, let me, and I want to remind you, if you want to travel on, if you want to experience the Holy Land, there's more information at relevantradio.com/Holy Land, relevantradio.com/Holy Land. Kathy and I are going to be heading out there in October with our sponsor Nativity Pilgrimage here at the network. One of the features of the Gospels, right, that is, one of the things about the Gospels that are, I think, very clear about where and when things happened, a lot of the ancient writings don't state where or when these things did happen. A lot of those writings, you know, were legends. The Gospels, though, are different. They make it clear that everything that the writers talked about actually happened, you know, especially in Galilee and Jerusalem, and that it happened at a particular time in history of the world, right? And that's why when you, I don't know, when you read the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, you read about Jesus' genealogy, right? Then you hear about Herod. Then you hear about Herod's son in Luke's Gospel. You read about Caesar Augusta. You hear about, later on, you know, Pontius Pilate, and who really was, by the way, you know, the Roman governor of Judea. I mean, you can go back and you can find the reality, the truths of what has been revealed in these Gospels. So our faith as Christians is a faith in real historical events, right? God took on human flesh. He took on human flesh in this particular place, this particular time in history. And he died for you. And he died for me. So, you know, going to the Holy Land and reliving, walking in the footsteps of Christ, where he worked his miracles, where he taught his truth, where he gave the ultimate gift of his body, blood, soul, in divinity, which we just offered to the Lord, gave us the gift of the Eucharist, gift of himself on the cross, where the resurrection took place. It's just a powerful, powerful experience. And I thought, you know, at this holiest time of year, at the Triduum, I would welcome back, once again, Khalid Jacob. He's the president of Nativity Pilgrimage. You can find him at nativitypilgrimage.com. He goes by Jacob. And then George Steffen, his associate there in the Holy Land, joins us to allow them to walk you through where we are, so that tonight when you go to church, or when you hear the readings on Friday, when you celebrate Holy Saturday or Easter, you'll have a sense of what Christ really went through. And it's a delight to have both these men back. Jacob and George, thank you for your time. George, thank you especially. I know it's very late in Israel right now.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. We are very blessed to be with you again, Drew, especially in this holy time we are, you know. And
well, let's do this. Let's start with Holy Thursday and take us to the upper room, the room where the Last Supper was held. What's it look like? Why an upper room? How do we know it's the same upper room today, 2,000 years later? Unpack that for us, gentlemen.
Okay. Shall I start, Jacob?
You can, yeah, for sure. Please go.
Okay. So, according to scriptures, of course, the Lord tells two of his disciples, go into the city and follow a man with a water jar. You see, that particular sentence, when the Lord tells two of his disciples, go into the city, of which once upon a time, Mount Zion, where the upper room is nowadays, was once upon a time inside the city. So following a man that follows a water jar, which means that the Lord was leading the disciples into the courtyard of the Essenes, or the neighborhood of the Essenes. We are the same who wrote down the Dead Sea Scrolls. They lived a celibate life. So who would carry water? Not women, since they lived a celibate life. It's men. So that now leads you into, of course, a neighborhood. And then the man should be sitting outside of the building. Tell him that the master seeks a room. Since the lower room was busy, he gave them the upper room. That's why you call it the upper room. Okay, and of course, according to archaeological finds, and here I'm talking about Christian archaeologists, Jewish archaeologists as well, they tell us that exactly below the upper room nowadays are remnants of a first century AD house. It was a very small upper room. It didn't have any windows, one entrance. The moment you walk in an upper room in the first century AD, you'll find a U-shaped table, and not a table, of course, as we depict it nowadays, or how Leonardo da Vinci did in the 15th century AD with the Lord sitting in the midst, of course. Right. It's a U-shaped table where the moment you come in, the Lord should be seated, of course, to the right-hand side, and next to him would be John the Beloved, and then at the guest's seat, or the seat of honor, should be Judas of Iscariot, and then opposite to the Lord and John was Peter. And then at that room that still exists until nowadays, I mean the same location, not the same building, because the building dates from the Crusader period, at the same place is where the church started. At the same place is where the institution of the Eucharist started, where priesthood started, where the Lord appeared to his disciples two times after resurrection. It's the same place where we celebrate Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down on the disciples, of course, and they started speaking in different understandable languages. That's, of course, an abbreviation of what we know about the upper room since the Lord's time until, of course, nowadays.
George, why would Judas have a seat of honor at the table?
That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. Actually, the disciples were always arguing between each other who is the least between the disciples, who is the most important. And since the Lord in Matthew 16, verse 13 up to 16, says to Peter, you are the rock, but then at the upper room, he shows him that the smallest or the youngest between the disciples should be seated next to me, and then the seat of honor should be for the one who will betray me. And that was, of course, the prophecy that was written in the book of Psalms, chapter 41. It's my friend, the one I eat with, is the one who's going to betray me. So it's, of course, it is the prophecy coming true. And, of course, we know that Psalms were written around 100 or 1,000 years before the birth of the Lord. So that's why he made him sit next to him in the seat of honor. And usually people who sit in the seat of honor should be the one who would keep the covenant. But we know that Judas of Iscariot did break that covenant, of course. And, by the way, always when we talk about the Old Testament covenant, it's always about Abraham and circumcision. But if you go to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 13, the covenant became what? Bread. And what? Salt. And what's inside the bread? It's salt. So breaking the bread, there's salt in it. So Judas Iscariot, of course, did the betrayal on the spot over there.
Wow.
And there's another reason, if you wish me, I can add to this.
Sure.
It is, you know, the Lord, he went to the cross, you know, a couple hours after that for our forgiveness. And he want to show us that he will always accept us, you know, even with our sins. And he tried that we change our heart. Even last minute, he will accept it. And this is what he wished that Judah he will do, but he still betray him. So we are invited to be sitting on the same place where Judah, that's what the Lord, he wants us to be, you know, and he always will forgive our sins. So it's our decision by the end of the day. We're going to continue or we want to be faithful to the Christ.
Amen.
And come back. So this is what's the main reason he put Judah next to him.
That's beautiful, Jacob. Thank you for that point of clarification. Gentlemen, hold your thoughts for just a second. I had to take a short break. When we come back, we'll pick it up after the Last Supper. And I'm curious as to where the women were. Were they in another room, another building? Were they in a totally different location? We can talk about that. But he also went to the Mount of Olives. He went to Gethsemane. We can take a look at that. And the harrowing journey he had that night between his apprehension and ultimately standing before Pilate. That and much more coming up straight ahead.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
I hope you are having a grace-filled Holy Thursday. Good afternoon. I'm Drew Mariani. Good to be with you today. You know, we'll go to church. You'll hear the readings. I remember the very first time I went to Israel, I was so disappointed. And the reason I say that is because in my mind, I expected to see what Jesus of Nazareth portrayed. And it's a very different place. So I thought today I'd bring you back in time and allow you to see the Jewish roots of so much that took place. And hopefully paint a picture for you as to what it was like in the time of Christ. And I've invited Jacob, the president of Nativity Pilgrimage, to join us. And you can check him out at nativitypilgrimage.com. You can also, if you want to go to the Holy Land, go to relevantradio.com/Holy Land. I'll be heading out there, too, and you can get more information there. And George is joining us very late right now in Israel, and he's staying up to celebrate with us on this wonderful day. And I want to thank you both. Gentlemen, time's going to go very quickly, but let me ask you, if we could, George, in terms of the women, do we know, what was the Jewish custom at the time? Christ was with his apostles in the upper room. Where was Mary and the women?
Of course, according to the some of the Jewish tradition, there should be a big separation between men and women, as it is as the case at the Wailing Wall nowadays. There's a separation between men and women. But these things are not written down in scriptures, of course. So the thing is that there's some of the tradition says that they were in the lower room, but then later on we see that the scriptures tell us that during Pentecost, there were around 120 brothers and sisters when, of course, they were gathered at the upper room. So we see that there is a later tradition that says maybe they were gathered together in, of course, the same upper room, or maybe in the same building, that first of all, we started with the upper room, but then later on, the whole building became under, of course, the church, or the first church where everything started.
Gotcha. Because of time, after the Last Supper, what did the apostles do? They went, of course, Christ went off to pray, knowing that, you know, his great mission was about to unfold. How far away was that? What was the garden actually like? And what do we know?
Actually, an hour ago, we just finished the procession, the Catholic procession. We started from the Garden of Gethsemane all the way to Caiaphas' house. After the Mass, we started at 9, and then 10:15, we started walking. Of course, all the Christians, most of us, we were wearing black. We lit candles with the Franciscan friars and brothers, and then we walked inside the Kidron Valley, of course, in agony, to remember how the Lord walked down this valley 2 times willingly, like a lamb going to the slaughter without opening his mouth. So the thing is that from the upper room down to the Garden of Gethsemane through the Kidron Valley, it's around a 17-minute walk going down. But then coming, of course, the Lord goes down with 11 of his disciples from the upper room. Judas of Iscariot goes to take the 30 pieces of silver. The Lord goes to the garden, and in the garden, there was a big stone over there that served as a press, an olive press, and that's why we call it in Aramaic, Gat Shmanim. That's why we call it in English, Gethsemane. Okay, with nowadays around 6 olive trees, ancient olive trees. He goes over there, he prays for the Father to pass the cup away from him, and that piece of stone still exists until nowadays. And then scriptures tell us that he goes, checks on his inner circle. And who is the inner circle? It's Peter, James, and John. He goes over there 3 times. Why 3 times? Because until nowadays, after 2,000 years, the procedure of crushing the olives to get the oil is a 3-time procedure. So he checks on them, cannot you bear with me for an hour? And then, of course, blood comes down from his face, and then the angel comes down to comfort him. And that thing is still there. When you go down there, it's dark, and we celebrated Mass at the same stone where the Lord prayed for the Father to pass the cup away from him. And then we start walking up towards Caiaphas' house, which is only a 5-minute walk away from the upper room where the Lord was held on a Thursday night and lowered down into the dungeon before, of course, Friday morning, sending him in front of Pontius Pilate.
Well, you talk about taking a trip to the Holy Land and walking in the footsteps of Christ. You can actually pray at the very place Christ sweat blood. You know, you can take the same journey that he took. It's an amazing, amazing excursion. Jesus, you know, he sent, after he was apprehended, of course, he was brought before Herod and then Pilate. What do we know about that time frame? I mean, Scripture does reveal a little bit, but I'm assuming he was beaten, maltreated. How long of a journey was that? I'm assuming his last meal was the Last Supper. They probably didn't give him anything to eat or really even to drink. What did he go through? How bad was that night before he stood before Pilate?
Yes, and that's what we believe, that the way of suffering did not start at Pontius Pilate. Right. It started in the garden, because sin started in the garden, And then redemption started in the Garden of Agony or the Garden of Gethsemane when he says, "Thy will shall be done." It's a long, of course, procedure. Why is that? Because, and the Lord, of course, was in agony. He was tired. The last meal would be the last Paschal meal. Then he walks around the 17-minute walk down to the Garden of Gethsemane. And why does he pick the Garden of Gethsemane, Drew? There's a reason why. Because it's exactly opposite to Moriah, the place where Abraham wanted to sacrifice his only son. But then God had a different plan. He had a plan of love written with blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. That's why over there he says, "Thy will shall be done." Of course, he's arrested, and then he's taken up to Caiaphas' house. It's a long procedure over there, going up, and then he's lowered down into the pit. And then early in the morning, he's sent all the way towards Pontius Pilate. There's a small description over here that lots of us do miss, that one of the Gospels tell us that Herod's son, Herod Antipas, was attending Passover, and he was sitting at the Jaffa Gate, his father's palace. So Pontius Pilate, hearing that Herod was in town, he sends Jesus, since he was Galilean, to Herod's son, Herod Antipas. And then Herod Antipas says, "Well, welcome. I've been hearing about you. Do something. Open your mouth." The Lord doesn't open his mouth. Herod takes off his robe. He puts it on the shoulder of Jesus, and then he sends him back to Pontius Pilate. And scriptures tell us from that time on, Pontius Pilate and Herod became friends. And then from there, Pontius, of course, scourges the Lord, he whips the Lord, and he sends him all the way towards Calvary. But the thing is, when we dig inside the Greek Bible, when the Lord was taken from or arrested from the Garden of Gethsemane, there were more than 32 violations that were committed against the Lord. First of all, he was arrested at night. That's against the Jewish law. Instead of taking him up to the condemnation hall, he was taken up to Caiaphas' house. What we say in English, that he was mocked, spat at, mocked falls into scourging as well. So most probably he was scourged at Caiaphas' house. That's why when people go to Caiaphas' house, there are lots of remnants of blood and flesh that dates to the first century AD that were found inside the dungeon and the crypt where the Lord was held on the Thursday night.
Wow. Well, my guest today is Khalid Jacob. He's president of Nativity Pilgrimage, and you can learn more by going to nativitypilgrimage.com about his trips to Israel. Of course, relevantradio.com/Holy Land is a great way if you want to encounter this and walk in the footsteps of Christ. Of course, you're listening to George. It's his associate in the Holy Land, an expert on not only biblical history, Jewish tradition, but the Catholic faith and the experience we have over there. You know, George, I know it's very late for you right now. It's closing in on midnight for you, and that is you're just about to enter into your Good Friday, and I'm grateful for you staying up so late. If you have the strength to do it, I would love just to keep you for about 5 minutes more on the other side, because we've gone to the scourging. I'd like to pick it up there so that tomorrow, as well as people spend time in prayer, they can understand what the Lord went through from his torture under Pontius Pilate to hanging on the cross. So stay with us. When we come back, we'll go ahead and do that. I'd love to hear that from you. Also coming up, Father Rock will be joining us a little bit later in the next hour as well. We'll get you plugged into some wonderful traditions, visiting seven churches and a whole lot of other things. We'll take a look at the Eucharist. I want to share with you a little bit. Today's the day that the Eucharist was instituted. Well, one of my favorite saints, Saint Faustina, was told by the Lord what was revealed to her. So as we celebrate the Last Supper tonight, you can also ponder and contemplate those words. She saw the passion, too, and I'll share some of that with you. But stay with us. We are back with more right after this.